Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of Deadline's New Hollywood Podcast. Quarantine edition.
Self-isolating edition. Social distancing.
Self-isolating edition. I hope everyone is doing all right. I'm here with Amanda.
Hey.
Sorry, you should have just introduced yourself. I didn't even introduce myself.
No.
I'm Dino Ray Ramos.
I'm Amanda Nduka, and guys, please bear with us because this is the first time we've tried this. So
yeah, we're doing this via remotely, so we have a learning curve here,
right?
And also, our producer is here, so
say hi, David.
Hey, David. Guys. Yeah, how are you guys doing? This is, I guess, a little bit strange. I'm coming to you from my clothes closet.
Yeah,
yeah,
and I can't, my closet's too small. I mean, that's my closet over there. And it's like one of those sliding door closets where you can't really, sit in there.
Mine is too, yeah.
And they're shelving in there as well. So I'd be like this if I did. For those who don't know, recording in closets is the best way to do this.
Right.
And David's in his, Amanda and I are not. When was the last episode we had? The last episode we had was with Linda and Marvin, right? For Hentify.
Yes, yeah.
And since then, the world has been interesting.
It has changed.
So PMC, where we were, closed their offices. We were not able to record.
Yeah.
And we had to find different ways to record. And I think, at least for the next 2 months. This is 2020, by the way, in case anybody's listening to this in the future. They discovered our podcast because we had Oprah on and they subscribed and downloaded all our backlog and are now going back and listening. This is the time when we were all in quarantine.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're finding a new normal, which I think we'll probably be doing it this way for the next 2 months.
Yeah. So we'll kick it off with some guests and get back to semi-new Hollywood format soon.
For now, we wanted to do this just with the host only, just to kind of test things out, see how this will be. Like David said, it will probably be the next couple months,
right,
that we'll be doing it this way. If by some miraculous, thing, I'm not trying to be doom and gloom and I'm not trying to, bring anyone down, but I'm trying to also think realistically.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people say that, oh, by the end of March, it's going to be, things are going to start going back to normal, and it's not going
to.
And I felt that it would be good to have some, we need to get back to some sort of normalcy or else we'll go insane.
Right.
And I thought that doing something like, we thought that doing something like this would kind of get us back into gear, kind of just have a conversation and where we're at in our head,
yeah,
what we've been doing. You know, I'll admit I personally, you know, getting a little bit personal here, I kind of lost it last week.
Oh my gosh.
Just, you know, I'd have been sharing this with my friends and everything because, you know, we are in the news business and we are constantly bombarded with information, especially with social media. All the sites we have to monitor, our own news that we monitor, the people who are pitching us stories. And, you know, there's just this moment, you know, that like at the end of last week, you know, I was just like, oh my God, this is overwhelming. This is happening. And, you know, and I got freaked out.
Yeah.
I'll admit it. And you can't avoid it. And, you know, I was like, oh, what the fuck's going on? You know, I knew, you know, and I've been doing my part, you know. I'm not saying that I was going. I think the last big gathering I went to was the Mulan premiere. That was 2 weeks ago. And I'm fine. And I was just like, oh, my God, you know. And then I called my sister to help her talk me down. And she's a nurse. I've been open about this on Twitter saying, like, I can't trust the media. I can't trust all of the media, at least, you know. So I turned to my medical professional friends, and they're like, oh, you know what? You're doing what you can. And, you know, I'm calmed down now. I cut myself off from Twitter and Facebook this weekend, and you guys, that helps a lot.
When you did that, I was like, that's actually a really good idea, because you get so many different everybody seems like they know they have the answers, and so
they watch Contagion, right? And they're automatically
like, people are like, oh, this is a conspiracy, the big farm is trying to make it's like, there's so many things that are fed to you, like it gets really overwhelming, and it's like, what am I supposed to believe, what am I supposed to be doing, like, where can I run to? You can't go anywhere. So it is, I agree. Mm-hmm. Social media is actually making me, I freaked out a bit too about this, like I especially when it got really bad and like things started closing down, I was like, okay, like what is actually going on here, like I you know, not knowing what to do, not being by fam, like my immediate family, I just got, it was really making me anxious, and I still feel mm-hmm. a little bit anxiety even now, because, you know, even though they've closed down all this stuff, it's like, it doesn't seem like things are getting, I mean, it's been a very short period, but it just like, it's like, when are things going to get better? How much longer can I be cooped up inside? Like, thinking about staying inside for another 2 months, or if it is going to be May. And honestly, it's honestly kind of freaking me out, because I'm like, what am I going to do for the next 2 months? You know, like, what are we going to do?
Well, what's so crazy is when things like this happen, when like really big things, like, for example, when the writer's strike happened, whatever it was, 10 years ago, and Hollywood basically shut down for several months, it was kind of crazy, but you could look at other industries and they were operating as normal. Mm-hmm. You know, every time there's kind of a crisis, there's some part of life that still goes on as normal. This is the first time that I feel like the whole world has kind of shut down. Everywhere you go and everywhere you look, it's like everybody is affected by this, and that to me is kind of the scariest, but also in a weird way the most optimistic part of this all, because, you know, I feel like so often we're not global citizens, we're just kind of, you know, concerned with what's happening in our own country. Mm-hmm. And I feel like even for us, it's even smaller than that, like our own industry. Like, that's all we really care about. And this has kind of forced us to look way beyond that. Really, everybody outside of like Greenland and Antarctica is affected by this. And I don't know, there's something kind of uniting about that.
No, yeah, I totally agree with that. And I think there's good and bad, admittedly, about everything going on here. And, you know, I think after this, my friend was like, oh, the culture is going to change.
Oh, definitely. This is a game changer.
And this is a game changer. And I think there's going to be good, you know, I honestly think there's going to be more good from it than bad. I think, I hope it teaches more people about empathy and, in, you know, like you were saying, David, this is a global thing. It's like a lot of times we're living here in California, let alone America, you know, and we think we're just like all the only ones here. Those, a lot of people think they're the only ones here who you know, but there is something unifying about all this. Mm-hmm. I hope people are cooperating.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of ignorance.
Oh my gosh!
Here
did you see they had? And I think it was today. They showed like the beaches over the weekend in California, and the beaches were still packed. And I'm just like, we're not doing this for a vacation. This is not meant to be something to be taken as a, oh, we can do this. But it's like, I don't know. When do people start taking these things seriously? Is it when a whole bunch of people die, or is this like, or when somebody in their family is infected? Because a whole bunch of people, well, I mean, I guess relative to the actual people that are catching it, it's not as big, but people are dying. And I think the only way people are actually going to take it serious is somebody if somebody in their family gets infected, which is sad.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
there's only so much.
That's why I am glad that Garcetti yesterday, I think he closed all
the parking lots.
He closed all like hiking trails. Yeah. No, I think he closed hiking trails too, if I'm not mistaken. I may be mistaken.
I know he closed the parking lots to the beaches, but that doesn't mean people can't.
Parking lots and sports gatherings, golf courses, and all of that, which is good.
Yeah.
I've never played golf before, but I thought that one was like a little strange because it seems like that is an easy one to social
distance. That's definitely
like,
but I mean, I guess.
But you know, morons will find a way not to.
Yeah.
So
you know, I mean, like just you know,
right?
People,
that
just,
is true.
Let's just stay at home. Like, I want this thing to be over as soon as possible. So it's like I get it. People are getting cabin fever, or it's not. This is not the best ideal, but it's like they're asking us to stay at home. So it's not like they're asking.
Yeah, and
well, so what have you guys? What have you guys been doing as you've been self quarantined and not working? Because I mean, first of all, I don't know about you guys, but
work.
I feel like working from home, I've been working more hours than I usually do.
And I think with me and Amanda, nothing's really
changed. Honestly, the only thing I would say that has really changed is that like the type of stories that we're writing. Like it's like we're still like having to work every single day and make our phone calls and do all that stuff. But it's like we're just trying to figure out different ways because a lot of people don't want to speak about like film news or TV news right now because everything is on hold.
I totally agree with that. And at the same time, I was like, oh, it's like on Sunday, the Sunday before last Sunday, I was on the edit desk. I wrote like 8 stories about coronavirus.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this is overwhelming.
Yeah.
This is, and it's like, it's not like if we write a story about something non-coronavirus related, it's not like we're discounting that this thing exists.
No.
It's just a palate cleanser. It's to cut through this and to bring sort of normalcy.
Right.
Because I feel that like the more we talk about this, the more we empower it in this weird kind of new agey metaphysical sort of way. It's like we kind of empower it. And, you know, it's... I am aware it's there. I am 100%. I don't need a reminder every day, you know.
But other than work, I mean, I've been trying to catch up on, I think everybody has been catching up on shows. So I actually binged The Morning Show, which was amazing. It is such good TV. I was like, this show, like literally top 3 after I watched it. I binged that and I binged Self-Made, which I thought it was good, but you know, I fucking love them.
Wait, what's Self-Made?
That's the one about Madam C.J. Walker with Octavia Spencer.
Oh.
And Tiffany Haddish. It's like a limited.
Okay,
series.
Yeah. I was thinking, like, I thought you were. That was like a reality show.
It does sound like a reality show. But no, those are the two things. And then I watched this really bizarre documentary about the Tiger King. Have you guys heard of it?
Oh, everyone was watching that yesterday.
I'm two episodes into that. Oh my gosh. It's great so far.
It's
so
bizarre. But it's good. It's definitely good TV, but it's so bizarre. Like, I didn't even know there was this industry of, like, big cat owners that had this, like, really big, like, infight going on within these people. And it seems like they're all liars, to be honest. Even
I didn't know about this industry either. And just, like, the reveals that happen every 5 minutes this is crazy. Yeah. These people are all crazy.
It gets more bizarre. Like, keep going. It gets more bizarre towards the end.
Well, yeah, I want to watch Morning Show. I haven't gotten to that really yet. Good. And it's weird because I feel like when it first came out in November, everybody was hating on it. And then slowly, I just started hearing more and more people say that they got addicted to it and started, like, loving it. And so my kind of perception of it has changed. And now I really want to check it out.
It basically kind of, like peels back a little bit on sort of the structure of news, of media, and like the insidiousness that goes on, like, behind the scenes. And I think a lot of journalists, because you know, I think a lot of journalists were mad because they were kind of perpetuating this fake news type of I guess propaganda that the president started. But it's not really about that, honestly. And I thought it was really good writing. I thought that, I mean, we do know, obviously, after what happened with Matt Lauer, we do know there's really some really bad things that happen on morning shows like that, or on any news shows probably. But I thought it was Jennifer Aniston's greatest performance. Billy, what's his last name?
Quetta.
Yeah. Amazing. Like, Reese is good. Like, it was just really, everything about that show was just really good. So
let me ask you guys a question.
Yeah.
So the Morning Show was kind of a response to the Me Too era wave of, like, allegations that came out, and then, you know, everything that kind of fell because of that. We're in the middle of this coronavirus thing where we're all self-quarantined.
Oh, God.
And, you know, life is changing. How many screenwriters are out there right now writing their version of the self-quarantine?
There's so many people out
there,
like...
I mean... I think it's going
to
be...
And how many epidemic movies are we going to get in the next couple years?
Or, like, allegories of epidemic movies, zombie movies, or whatever. I think this kind of... It's an incubation period, right? People are going to be writing amazing things, and they're also going to be writing shitty things, let's be honest. Yeah. But I think this is a good time, and it's also a good time to kind of self-reflect, whatever. But I think there's gonna be an uptick, definitely, in these kind of contagion-esque movies. I think it's gonna be interesting. For me, I actually haven't really started many things new. I've been doing a lot of comfort watching, like going back to things that I love, that I'm familiar with. I like rewatch all of 30 Rock. I actually started that before all of this, and then I ended that. I'm actually watching all of Top Chef for some reason, because it's a good show to have on in the background. Yeah. I did watch Little Fires Everywhere, the first episode of that. It's an interesting show.
Yeah.
And of course, I've been watching some screeners of things that I've been getting. I can't really talk about them now because of embargoes. We'll talk about it off mic And also, I think both of you know I was a juror for South, or was supposed to be a juror for South by Southwest.
Are you still doing that?
They continue to do it. I watched 10 documentaries, and we deliberated already, and I think we'll get something. I think they're going to announce it this week,
okay,
the winners we picked or whatever. It's going to be interesting, and it was, you know, I'm glad that they did
that.
Yeah,
me too.
Can you talk about, are you able to talk about how you did the deliberation process remotely? Because I feel like that's not something that's usually done for these film festivals.
I don't think so. I mean, I think I could talk about it. The only difference is we weren't meeting in person, and we won't get to announce it at a whole gala dinner or whatever, which I'm kind of pissed off about, whatever. No, I think it was fine. We know there were I think three of us, and we just talked over the phone for about an hour or so, and like kind of what we wanted to do, you know, what films we liked, you know, what we didn't like, what worked. And it was actually, it was a good conversation, and I'm glad that South By did this. Still a little bummed that we didn't get to go this year. I think it would have been a very different year for me, at least, because I was just going to be a juror, wouldn't have to work it. That's why I was like mad. That's kind of what I've been doing, because I and a lot of the documentaries were very, I think it was a very strong lineup of competitors this year.
You know, our editor-in-chief reported on a filmmaker who got into South By, was going to make her, I believe, feature debut at this festival. And you both know that, like, careers have been made and films have been launched from South By. So it's such a bummer that this festival didn't happen. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some potential missed opportunities. And the other thing is, you know, relating to New Hollywood, that South By also typically highlights, I think, new voices better than almost any film festival out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they are so much, you know, I love, you know, Sundance and TIFF and Cannes and everything there. But I think the thing I love about South By, I think Seth Rogen put it best. I remember a couple of years ago at the Sausage Party premiere, or it was like a work in progress screening he had. And he said, I love South By because it puts all genres at the same level. And I think South By also kind of is willing to take risks with new voices, and they're open. And it's very much, I think, a very filmmaker's
medium.
Festival. Yeah, medium. And it's just fucking fun, you know? And it's like a party, but also they know, you know, people know how to have fun, but they also know, you know, when it's time for business, I guess. But it's mostly a party. But it's, I personally like it because I'm very much in the genre indie ilk. You know, I do specialty box office and all that, so I enjoy it. It's like underrepresented voices for, and like new voices altogether. So I enjoy all of that.
I mean, it sucks for, I mean, I know there are a lot of people that obviously have been affected by this, especially like first time filmmakers or burgeoning filmmakers. And it sucks that they're not going to be able to show their work. But I do think, and I know, well, South By kind of did this, but like people are, I mean, I think we're just at a time when people have to try to get creative and figure out different ways to showcase their work. And, you know, I know South By, like, they, you know, some people did, like they would release their film on certain platforms, or they were sending it to buyers directly. There are a lot of these festivals that are being, like, Tribeca is another, I mean, Tribeca is another one that's really big for indie filmmakers and TV people. So I think it's just, you know, we're all, even though we're all not in the same boat, obviously this affects some people more than it affects others.
Well, yeah, I mean, but these film festivals, a lot of the deals happen before the film festival ever takes place. Yeah. And, you know, they happen through online screeners where, you know, these distribution companies are viewing them online before seeing them in the theater. And I think, you know, part of the decision comes when they see it in front of an audience and how the audience reacts
and
to it.
And that's what they're missing.
You know, that's where the final decision is kind of made. But, you know, these deals are made virtually already beforehand.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is like that word of mouth just isn't happening when the festivals don't happen themselves.
Yeah, yeah. I think, it's going to be, well, luckily South By isn't much of an acquisition festival, but, you know, I'm currently working on another story, about a filmmaker. Her name is Lin Chen. I think this one is even more, you know, you could read it later. Hopefully I'll post it later this week. Her name's Lin Chen. She was in this movie, I think it was in 2000 and, I don't know, early 2000. It was called Surrogate Valentine, and then it had a sequel called Daylight Savings. And then the kind of the trilogy was going to round out with this one called I Will Make You Mine. And they all premiered at South by Southwest. She starred in the first two. And like years later, she asked the director, she was all, are we going to do a third one? And he was all, never. And then she said, and then he changed his mind. And she was like, all, can I do it? So she was going to direct and star in this trilogy that was kind of like a Before Sunset indie thing, and have her directorial debut, bookend this trilogy at South by Southwest. It was already acquired by Gravitas, and when they got canceled, you know, just I think that impact of having this kind of journey from this film that started, like, I think it was like in 2005 or something like that, maybe even later than that. The first one was in 2011, so this would have more, and then 9 years later they ended the trilogy, but it didn't have its premiere. So that kind of story, you know, you can't help but feel for them, because they worked hard on this trilogy. This was her first time, and she's a female filmmaker of color too.
Yeah.
So that was like a big impact. But luckily they got acquired already, but at the same time they're not going to have that, you know, word of mouth, pomp and circumstance of like a whole premiere, and they lost that. And luckily she said, you know, I'm not going to kind of dwell on what could have been. I just want to focus on what can be.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Do you guys feel a little bit, I just kind of feel a little ways about like telling these individual, like everybody obviously has their own struggle. And I feel like some struggles are a lot greater than others. Like you're talking about the person that you're writing about, at least her film was acquired and she had that. Do you guys feel some type of way? Because I've just been talking to so many people, and so many people have been pitching me stories about like what they've been going through and like how this affected them and all that stuff. And I kind of feel weird about it, because I'm just in my head, I'm just thinking, even if I write this story and like share this person's like experience, I just feel like there's all of us, every single person on this planet, you know, barring the people that maybe haven't been affected, but I feel like everybody sort of has their own story, their own struggle. So me picking out one person's like story to tell, I just feel weird about it, because it's like, if I go and write this person's story, I'm like, I know I'm going to have so many people like, but this is what I'm going through, and it might be even worse than what this person, like I said, like somebody could have been at South By, and that's where they were counting on to get distribution, or somebody could have gone, like South By could have been for somebody who's counting on getting financing, like, so it's like it can always go deeper. So I don't know, I've been feeling some type of way about like trying to figure out like whose story
I think that's kind of just the nature of the business in general, right? I mean, it's not like we're discounting.
Yeah.
It's just like we have to, and it's kind of our jobs to be responsible as journalists to tell these stories and, you know, and give voices, voices to the voiceless. Yeah. That's how I approach it. Yeah. And, I think Amanda, you've been through the same thing. Anytime I write a story about an Asian American filmmaker or Asian American something or other, I'll write one, you know, I'll be all, oh, this is an interesting story. And then immediately, you know, my inbox fills up, you know, with I'll write about this, write about XYZ. And I'm just like, you know, thank you, but you know, we can't write about everything, but you know, we could recognize its existence.
Yeah.
And it's not like we're discounting, it's just that, you know, we're only one person.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I've just been struggling with that. Like, you don't want this to make this person's sob story feel more important than this person. And I'm not saying sob story in being as a derogatory.
No.
Saying we're all dealing with sob stories right now. Like, we've all been impacted by this. So I've just been struggling with like how to kind of like shape these stories into something that can sort of be more of a further reaching, topic than just one person. Like I've just been feeling really weird about it. And I know like we've been doing like, you know, this coping with COVID 19 series, which I think is great, to be honest. I think it was a great idea. It's just for me, I've been finding it really hard to just think about like how do I make this something that can kind of be a general something that can reach the general public and not somebody's, you know, somebody's struggle of not getting into a festival or not being able to produce their first.
That's what
I've been going through. But I definitely do agree with you. I think that these people do, and everybody deserves to have a voice in this moment. Like, everybody deserves to be heard. But
yeah. And it's like we just do what we can, and it's kind of, I was just thinking about this, it's kind of like, you know, Kumail and Emily's Little America. There are so many immigrant stories.
Yeah.
There's so many stories out there, and, you know, they can't tell all, but they can tell some, and, you know, that will help inspire others to tell stories.
Right,
so,
on their,
you know,
platforms.
That's kind of how, you know, and at the same time, like I said, we are journalists. We have to use our journalistic judgment. We have to use our, you know, what stories will be interesting.
Yeah.
And what will people, our readers,
what
will
they connect
to?
Exactly. So that's the thing. Exactly.
Oh my god, guys, I just coughed. I'm sorry. Luckily, we're so I'm clearing my throat.
Yeah, I know. I've been drinking a lot of water these days. And I've been starting to cook more,
I mean,
too,
I,
which is something that I never really did before.
Oh, so. I made bread.
Oh my gosh.
I made baguettes the other night. Which
I've made 2 loaves of bread so far.
Wow.
I'll probably make a third one tomorrow.
Which is good because you can't even find bread in grocery stores anymore. So that's a great skill to have.
Well, like my bread.
I wish I could make toilet paper.
I know. or paper napkins.
Well, my baguettes didn't turn out how I wanted. They looked good on the outside, but on the inside they were not as airy. You could tell a good baguette by how many air holes are in it. Like when you slice into it. The more dense, like mine was too bready, and I was very mad.
Well, I have Dino. Once this whole thing is over, I have a baguette tray that you can bake baguettes on, like a special,
really?
Tray for baguette.
Wait, have you
baking.
Made baguettes before?
I did. Yeah, I made it using this tray. I think the best thing for that problem when it's like too doughy. You know, you want a little bit more of a stickier dough.
Mm. Yeah, you have to make it. I read you have to make it. Wetter.
Yeah, exactly.
It makes more sense. It's science,
for
whatever.
It to be moist.
Right.
But at the same time, like, I've also still been going outside, to be honest. I'm not going to parks and shit. I go out for morning runs around away from everyone. I go for walks because just, you know, it's not like anyone's out there. It's just, I'm not interacting with anyone.
Yeah.
I'm just walking.
No, yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm going for walks all the time too. Yeah. And, you know, I'll see people coming our way on the walk, and we all like kind of
yeah.
go around.
You
each
do
other.
That move. You do that shuffle where you like kind of sidestep. Or the other day, this is so stupid. I was walking. No, this was yesterday. I was walking in the neighborhood and I saw a guy coming towards me, and I saw him look up, and then he crossed the street and went the other, like on the other side. And I was like, okay, either that's racist or he's just being
you
safe.
You can't even say that anymore. just let's all assume that they're abiding by the 6 feet rule. You know what that 6 feet rule reminds
which is good,
me of?
Which was good for him.
You know what that
good
reminds
for him.
Me of? I went to private school when I was from like second grade to fifth grade. And I remember we had a six inches rule for guys. We had to say, it was our forearm. We had to stay 6 inches away from them. So even if we were talking, we couldn't be sitting next to each other. Like it had to be like 6 inches apart. So I'm like, I'm not new to this.
You've had practice
I'm
gonna
say,
for this.
I'm not new to this. I know how to keep my distance.
Yeah. I mean,
well,
yeah.
As we wrap up, because I think we should probably wrap
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
What are you guys most bummed about being delayed because of the coronavirus?
Well, I was bummed about South by Southwest because that's a festival I look forward to every year. I was bummed a little bummed about CinemaCon because I knew they probably would have showed us Black Widow.
Mm-hmm. last time I went, like they showed Avengers. So yeah, probably.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. You know, and then also, you know, my birthday's coming up in April, so I'm a little
Aww.
Bit like bummed about that.
yeah, you're gonna have to have
I mean, who knows? Maybe they, by some miraculous, like, it's mid-April, maybe something will happen, but you know, you never
yeah.
know. I am bummed about a lot of things, but I'm maintaining hope.
Yeah,
you know, I if you don't. It's like you can't drive yourself crazy. I started a puzzle.
And how many pieces?
1,000.
That's a lot.
It was one I got from DreamWorks, and it is so. It's like all the animated characters ever in DreamWorks, like DreamWorks Animation, mm-hmm. and It's really, and it's like all I could think of all day. It's like, oh, I can't wait to get done with work so I can work on my puzzle. Honestly, I would suggest it because it takes your, you know, it kind of puts you in a zone. It takes your mind off things. Yeah. It's, and I have Top Chef playing in the background, and I'm like, I'm good. I'm good to go. I got my puzzle, my baguette. And some ramen.
Yeah.
Some ramen.
I'm honestly, like, I'm bummed about a lot of, like, I was really looking forward to seeing, like, a lot of these movies, like Mulan, Black Widow, like, the James Bond movie. So that was kind of bummed. Like, you got to see Mulan at least. And I was supposed to see it. They had confirmed me for the media.
Oh, that.
But they had to cancel it, obviously.
Was that on the? Oh, that was supposed to be on the 19th. Yeah, yeah. That was like, oh yeah.
Yeah. So they canceled that. And I'm also kind of bummed about like people who are when the story last week was Paradigm decided to temporary lay off a lot of their staff. And it bummed me because like I have a friend that he's not at Paradigm, but he's like a lower level like agent, and like he was like looking, like, he was telling me that he started looking for jobs because he doesn't know about like what's gonna happen to him during this time, and it kind of sucks because it's like they started work. I mean, they're working from home, but they're like working Monday, Tuesday, like they think they're still thinking that they have a job. And all of a sudden this happens and it's like, what do you do? So I felt really bad for people in that position. And everybody who literally went to work one day, didn't think that anything was wrong. They were doing their jobs fine. And then all of a sudden this stuff happens and it's like, we have to lay you off because we can't afford to keep you anymore. So that's really been actually probably the biggest thing that's been making me like really sad about this, is that people are losing their jobs and it's like, They didn't do anything, you know. They just literally went to work, right. And the next day it's like, oh, we don't have a job anymore. So,
I mean, yeah. I'm personally bummed about, you know, Black Widow. I obviously was like looking forward to seeing. There were a couple of plays.
Yeah.
One I was going to see in March.
Oh yeah, I was going to see Once on This Island at the Amundsen. I think it's on Once on This Island. Yeah.
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 And all of them have been, I mean, in the case of the play I was going to see in March, it was just flat out canceled. Yeah. And the theater asked, you know, emailed about a refund, and they said, you know, if you would like to request a refund, great, but we'd also like you to donate your ticket to our theater because we still want to pay, you know, our people as we were going to.
Yeah, and I see a lot of people doing that.
Yeah, just to what you were saying, Amanda, the kind of the sad, vicious cycle of this is that so many actors in this industry are not working actors. Mm-hmm. They're people who it's their kind of side hustle, and their real hustle is waiting, you know, waiting and hosting at restaurants. Mm-hmm. And so these actors have all been laid off from their main hustle and their side hustle. So a lot of people are really, in Los Angeles specifically, stranded because they don't have either of their jobs.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, it kind of makes you recognize your privilege, mm-hmm. I guess, mm-hmm. you would say. And what you know, we're good for now,
yeah.
I hope. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this whole ecosystem is, the whole Hollywood ecosystem is taking a hit. Mm-hmm. But also, I love seeing kind of this... kind of camaraderie,
yeah.
And also this like you know, an engine, this inventiveness of people doing things remotely like this and saying, hey, we're gonna have this class, we're gonna do this comedy show,
yeah.
Like I know there's a bunch of queens, a drag queens are doing a whole show next week. And, you know, you still pay, you know, a lot of people are getting their wishes. All these movies are freaking coming to streaming.
Right,
like,
exactly.
You know, Onward came on, Lovebirds is going to be on streaming.
Then The Hunt, this is gonna be, Birds of Prey, like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all coming early.
The Hunt
yeah.
cannot catch a break.
No, it really can't. No, seriously.
No, but yeah, I think I'm just really... You know, I feel for like all, you know, I'm sure all of us have actor friends,
yeah.
and filmmaker friends. And, you know, I feel like a mom. I check in on them every day and be like, hey, how y'all doing?
Yeah, me too.
And just be, you know, kind of let them know I'm there. And, you know, my parents are, you know, my family's up in the Bay Area. They're not far. My dad was all, do you want to come here? And I was all, no, I can't risk that.
Yeah. You know? No, me too. I was thinking of going to Dallas before things got like really, really bad. And I was just like, it would be nice to just to be home with my mom and my dad. But I'm like, I don't want to risk giving because my brother just had a baby. Like his wife just gave birth. So they both, I don't want to risk it. But it does, I do like in these times wish that they were, you know, they were somewhere close by.
And it's like, it's great to have FaceTime like this, and you know, and I just hope you know that this ends sooner rather than later.
Well, if people rules and stay inside and let's try to end this as soon as possible. Let's try to get back to some type of normalcy, and everybody just stay healthy. This is scary. Yeah. It's like we can do our part to kind of help with the spread and bring down the curve. And I think we should. And I think that should be something that we're all taking very, very, very seriously. So.
Yeah. And it's like also just, you know, I try and I would suggest take a break from social. Instagram, not so much, because Instagram keeps me happy, honestly, because not many people post like opinions on there often. It's mostly just images of people. Now it's just people freaking, you know, doing food
or a bunch of challenges. Like, how many challenges were you guys tagged in? How many push-up challenges were you guys tagged in?
Oh my god, I did something that for the first time I posted because I was doing yoga the other day, and I posted me doing a pose, and I was like, I can't believe I did that. You know, it's keeping me, you know, sane. And check the news, I would say just check CDC.
That's what I was going to say. Possible. Please check CDC. everybody has an opinion of what they think this is and with how they think this can be prevented or treated. But just check the CDC site. I mean, who knows what we can trust these days, but I feel like that's our best bet, if anything.
And also practice self-care, yo, and support local businesses. I mean, like, all this is the same. You know, everyone's been saying the same thing. Even just donate as much as you can. I mean, I donate it. I mean, I feel helpless, but you know, I try to do what I can.
Exactly.
And you know, hopefully we'll be back in the studio soon, but we'll have guests sooner rather than later, guys.
Yeah. Well, thanks guys.
I feel very empowered right now having both of your attention on me. I can give the wrap-up signal. And
well, you guys look great, eyes on me. So I just want to say I haven't seen y'all in a couple of weeks. So
oh my gosh.
Oh my god, you guys are in my bedroom.
you guys can see my
inner workings of my bedroom. But no, thank you guys so much. And thank you guys for listening, and stay safe and take care of yourselves.
Stay tuned, you guys. Bye.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.